praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the Lord is saying this morning. The Lord is saying this to each one of us this morning. He's saying, I have put in your heart, I've put in your mind, I've put in your path a destiny that I have prepared from the foundation of the world. You are my very workmanship, created by me and for me, for good works I've ordained you to walk in. You've been created to go from glory to glory to glory. And some of you have said in your heart, oh, I would love to go to that next glory. But at that thing, it's that one thing, it's that one weakness, it's that one weight in sin, it's that one thing. If it wasn't for that one thing, oh God, I could do it, I could go there. But you know what that is? It's holding me back, that one thing. And the Lord is saying this to you today. You have glorified that one thing. You have exalted that one thing. And I want to tell you this, it's not about that one thing. That one thing serves as a security blanket to keep you right where you are. There has been a fear in your heart about going on to the next glory. You've been concerned about how it's going to change you and make you different than you are today. If you're going from glory to glory, you're going to go where you haven't been before. I'm a good shepherd. You can trust where I'm leading you. As you give me your whole heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, don't allow sin to be an occasion to hold back. It's not about the sin. Trust where I'm leading you. Look out above and beyond that thing that you think is the thing. It isn't that. I am leading you into green pastures, still waters. I'm leading you into paths of righteousness for my namesake. Yeah, it's going to change you. As you change the way you think, it'll transform you from glory to glory to glory. You're transformed by that renewing of your mind. You don't think the same. But in that transforming, you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Because you'll see things there you can't see here. Trust me. You are letting go of stuff. But it's not about that thing. It's about where I'm taking you, child of God. I'm taking you places that you've speculated in your heart. I want to take you there. See it. There are good things out ahead of you. There are amazing things I'm leading you into. You're mine. You belong to me. Truly, trust me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. You'll walk past that thing and not even realize you walk past it because you're walking to me. You're looking unto me and allowing me to change you. I'm the one who began this good work in you. I'm the one who's going to be faithful to complete it in you. I'm the finisher of your faith. Just keep looking, keep walking, and walk past that thing and trust where I'm leading you. Don't fear the change. It's good. It's right. It's a spiritual mindedness that'll cause more life and peace than you've ever had. And you'll see things with a clarity of thought that will bless you and bring guidance to your life. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. We'll go ahead and get started. Just to reiterate, you know, that word, you know, it's exciting to know God. It's exciting to live for God. And, you know, he's real. You know, he loves you. And these are all different kind of levels that you enjoy God. But I'll tell you what, as you're walking with God, there's a song called Oceans. Take me out on the water. Lead me to where my feet won't wander. Sometimes he's bringing you, he's calling you places in him where you haven't been before. And that can be, you know, a little disconcerting just because, you know, I got to walk by faith as I'm growing and changing and developing. And sometimes we'll go so far out in the water and we'll just kind of stop. We're comfortable. We're safe. We know we're a child of God. We know where we're going. You know, I'm bearing fruit, you know, but if you're going to go from 30 to 60 to 100 fold, there's going to be some places that you're going to walk in and it's just going to cause you to trust him more. And so don't fear those changes. I like to say it like this. He's a good shepherd. He's not leading you into paths of flakiness. He's leading you into paths of righteousness for his name's sake, all right? But as you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, you're realizing that you're trusting him more. And you're just, you know, you're thinking more spiritually minded instead of naturally minded. And that process of the transforming of the renewing of your mind, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over your life. And we hit those inflection points and we'll hold on to that thing to keep us from going on to where God wants us. But we got to realize it's not about that thing. It's about trusting and seeing where God wants us. I heard somebody put it once this way about speaking to your mountain. You know, the speaking to the mountain that's in front of you. Somebody once said, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would speak to that mountain and get it out of the way. Because there's good things he's ordained you to walk in. So be encouraged this morning. God has amazing things. It's a very, I know, private, personal, individual word in your own heart, what that means and how that applies. But just know that where God's leading you, it's good. And you can trust where he's leading you. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start with a passage of scripture in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church, and he's talking to them about where his confidence is and where it isn't. And he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? He goes on to say, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The Apostle Paul would go into some of these Gentile cities and he'd evangelize and preach the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. That by one man's offense, sin entered in the world through Adam, but by another man's obedience, righteousness came. He's preaching that gospel, the good news of salvation. And then he'd have people come in behind him and say, yeah, but. And all of a sudden, they would strap on these new converts all these legal restrictions. So it became the blood of, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ plus some of these other things. And it would frustrate the Apostle Paul because he would see the joy of their salvation. He'd see their conversion. And the next thing you know, they're trying to dot their I's and cross their T's, living in continual fear that they may not actually go to heaven after all. And so he have to come in behind a lot of times where he'd been to a place and kind of reiterate and reestablish, no, you're saved by grace through faith. And so what he does here when he's kind of talking about, does anybody think he has confidence in the flesh? By that word flesh there, he's talking about his own goodness, his own works, his own resume. And so he's saying, look, if somebody's coming in behind you and saying, you know, it's got to be the works of the law here, I'll compare my resume with their resume. I can put my natural resume of what I've done and what I've accomplished according to the law next to anybody's. He goes, you know, then he kind of gives his credentials, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin. Now, these things really resonated to those people, you know, who were kind of getting the double talk about things he had to do. To have this kind of a resume concerning your Jewish heritage, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So this is a guy who's dotted his I's and crossed his T's. He said, but those things that were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. In other words, he reads his resume, he crinkles it up, and he throws it in the garbage. And he goes on to say, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So what does Paul do? He comes right back around and says, nope, it still is saved by grace through faith. You know, sometimes when you're saved, after you get saved and you start living for God for a while, you can forget that. And all of a sudden you start doing things for him and being excited and feeling good about doing things for him. And pretty soon, subtly, you begin to orientate your sense of love and acceptance from God by the things you're doing for him instead of his blood that was shed for you. That's why we need communion regularly. It's that continual grounding reminder of where we've come from. We've been saved by grace through faith. We got to lift up that cup. We have to lift up that bread and say, thank you, Jesus. This is where I come from. It's great to do things for God, but you realize that salvation is a gift of God, complete from beginning to end. And so we're going to talk this morning a little bit about you can have confidence, okay? There was confusion back there about confidence and where you put your confidence in. They were trying to go back to the law. They were trying to put confidence in what they did and kind of get a sense of, I did that for God. He's pleased with me. He loves me. He accepts me, you know? And there is a natural sense of job satisfaction of doing something for God. That's good and it's right. But it's not the same thing as the reason why he loves you, why you have acceptance with him. It's completely through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in distinguishing those two, you know, it can get a little murky at times because we do experience the joy of our salvation and the joy of just well done, good and faithful servant doing what God's called us to do and keeping that distinct in our heart, in our mind. But I want to talk this morning about things, although we don't have confidence in the flesh, we don't put our confidence, we don't trust and lean on those things, our works and the things that we're doing for God. There are things that we absolutely can do and need to lean on. And we kind of see where the Apostle Paul was leaning there as far as his righteousness, and that's the first one that I want to just look at this morning in terms of where we can have confidence, where we do put our trust. Okay, it's not in whether I had a good day or a bad day, but there's a confidence in your salvation. A confidence in your salvation. Again, this is something that we as believers need to regularly get stirred up and refreshed because, you know, the joy of your salvation comes from the confidence in your salvation. When you first received Christ, the first, whatever your backstory is, the first sense that, wow, he loves me. I'm going to live and be with him in heaven forever and ever. That's a wonderful, glorious thought. You know, the scripture says in Revelation about returning to your first love. What is that first love? It's that first realization that I'm going to be living with God forever and ever and ever. And over time, if we don't go back and kind of stir up that confidence and that joy of our salvation, it becomes theology that we believe and we'd get right on a test. But we're talking about confidence and being built up. Let's take a look at a few scriptures along the line as far as our confidence being in our salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's powerful, isn't it? God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And kind of the Lord kind of put it this way in my heart too. You know, Jesus did not send his church into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through the church may be saved. That's why we're here. We've got that good news. We've got that message. We're here to preach the gospel, the good news to the lost, right? We haven't been sent to argue morality to the world. We've been sent to preach the gospel to the world. That's what. Now, you can talk about morality with believers, and you can go into the Word of God and say, what does God say about different things? But when you're talking about people who don't know God, there are bigger fish to fry than whether that thing's a sin or not. It's, I'm a sinner. And a lot of times if people are kind of dealing, is that a sin or is that not a sin? These morality questions to get you, well, you know, I got to consider who I'm dealing with. Again, if it's who's a believer who's asking an honest question, I'd say, well, let's go to the Word of God and find out, you know? But if it's somebody who I know doesn't really know Christ, I'll kind of bring that question around and say, you know, whether that thing is a sin or not, there's one thing I know for sure. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all missed it. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. Because whether that's a sin or not, we've missed it somewhere else. So we need Jesus. Bring it around. You're fishing for men here. So you bring it around to the cross. Bring it around to salvation. bring it around to the Lord Jesus Christ a lot of times when you're kind of put in those spots, because ultimately that's the answer. Once a person receives Christ and they receive the Spirit of God and they're led to the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit does a lot of that convicting work and different things along the lines of your life. You're not perfect yet either, right? God's still working on you. God's still tweaking you. God's still working things out as you're working out your salvation. But as we're talking about, you know, salvation, God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. We have a good news. We have a good message. Jesus came, died on that cross for our sins. If we believe on Him, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. That was like Paul's resume, said that doesn't matter. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nothing. You will never find a person in heaven, and you're going to have to ask that person in heaven, how did you get here? I came through the blood of Jesus. How did you get here? Well, I was a really good guy. You know, Oh, you came through the blood, huh? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. No, there's only one way you're going to get there, and that's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. That conversation will never happen. You're all going to be in a chorus saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who redeemed us to God by His blood and made us kings and priests to our God. There won't be another section over there that doesn't apply to. It's going to be all of us. It is the gift of God from beginning to end, absolutely. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. A lot of times we'll have a kind of a theological phrase or a casual phrase that we'll call this the assurance of our salvation. I have an assurance of salvation. Well, I know theologically that He died on the cross, and in an analytical, you know, accounting way, I understand the math of how He cancels out my sin and whatnot, but there's something more than that. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us who bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. There's a dynamic action of knowing that is confused with arrogance, of course. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you bearing witness to this, you don't have that knowing. And it's not a smug, condescending arrogance that I think I'm better than you. No, I've actually had to humble myself as a little child and receive something, that gift of salvation. But along with that gift comes the witness of the Holy Spirit. And you see the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, it's family. There is a confidence that I have in my salvation. You know, I'm not, as I'm growing and developing and working things out, I'm not living with a continual fear of going to hell. That's gone. It's gift from beginning to end. It is the gift of God. I want to bear fruit for God. I want to do things. I want to please Him, like even just the word earlier this morning, you know, to go get past the weights and the sins that so easily beset you and keep running forward in that race that's set before you, the prize that is set before you, and bearing fruit and making a difference and having an impact. But at the same time, I realize my confidence is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I have confidence in that. Like what Paul said, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace about that. I'm not worried about going to hell anymore. It is the gift of God. I don't live in fear of that. I don't live in fear of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so's da-da-da-da-da-da-da or else. That's gone. That's gone. I won't stand before brother so-or-so or sister so-and-so. I'll stand before my Lord Jesus Christ. I love what the Scripture says. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he'll stand or fall. And he will stand because I'll make him stand. He is able to make him stand. That shows the heart of God in the matter. So I'm living out for Jesus. I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I have a confidence in that. And I love how Romans 10 puts it here. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. End of story. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is very powerful. If you've called upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That is very glorious. It's not talking about having your diet perfect or your politics perfect or even your theology perfect. I mean, when you first come into the kingdom of God, you don't even know the Bible, and yet you're saved. Isn't that amazing? You couldn't rub two scriptures together and you're going to heaven. I mean, that should put us a little bit at rest right now to feel like we're not building this theological structure. And if I get one thing wrong, it's going to undermine and ruin my salvation. No, it isn't. You're going to call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. There's a confidence in that. There's a confidence in that salvation. And as I was preparing the message, I don't quite know why, but the Holy Spirit kept bringing something back to me, so there must be some questions this morning about this, because I usually don't really talk about this that much, or this side of it. But what about people, maybe loved ones that you have, that you've never really heard or known that they've ever confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they pass on? What about them? I remember a situation, it was nearly 30 years ago. It was a family situation. And the guy had passed. And it's, you know how it is with family people? Sometimes you're working on them through the years, trying to bring them to Christ, fish for men the best you can. Sometimes as a family person, that can be hard because they know you according to the flesh, your natural deal. So it's hard to communicate spiritual truth all the time. And so this was a guy I know family had been working on for years, but really had no satisfaction of any declaration of faith. And it was a deal where he was found in his apartment, you know, several days, and, that was it. You know, he's just by himself. And I remember it was the day before the funeral, praying and saying, Lord, is it possible to have hope for this person? I was asking this, Lord, can I have permission to hope that this person may be with you right now? Because when people come to life-ending events, it can change everything. You know, they're kind of working with you, they're playing you, they're holding their hands, and they're kind of telling you what they want to do, maybe trolling you, different things like that. But when a person comes into a life-ending event, it can change everything. We have the story of the thief on the cross. He is a thief. What did he do? He did what thieves do. He plotted, planned, stole, different things like that. But on this day, he was a thief on a cross. Okay. He was a thief on a life-ending event. And all of a sudden, in that moment, as he realizes, this is the end, he looks over to Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Why could Jesus say that? He is rich to all who call upon him. Any state of life, you're calling on Jesus. He's rich toward all who call. Do you understand? A person could get saved when they're 5 and for 100 years tell people about Jesus, put their flesh under, deal with persecution, walk in love, bear fruit, do good things, fulfill the plan of God for their life. And another person just live all out for the flesh, the world, and the devil, and with their last breath, call upon the name of the Lord. They're both going to the exact same place, because the same blood redeemed both of them. And it's the same faith and the same grace and the same gift of God, and nobody has boasting rights. None. Not when you're in the presence of a holy God. Now, the person who lived for God, certainly they're going to have rewards. No doubt. The scripture talks about that, storing up treasures in heaven. There's tremendous value, impact, not undermining that at all. But I'm talking about your salvation. My goodness, it is nothing but the blood. Beginning to end. They'll be in that chorus together, singing, worthy is the Lamb who redeemed us to God by his blood, made us kings and priests to our God, equally children of God. Both persons. That's the power of the blood, isn't it? Praise God for the blood. Confidence in that salvation. And so as I'd prayed that prayer the night before, I woke up the day of the funeral, and the Lord answered my prayer. And he answered it with the scripture. You know how that is. The Lord will answer you with the scripture. And then as you read the scripture, then he'll give you some more clarification. So this is the scripture that I got when I asked that question. It was from 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. What does love do?
Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Amplified puts it this way. Love bears up under anything, and everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, Ed, you not only have permission to hope, but that's what love does. It does. It hopes. Praise God. What are we saying here? Do I have 100% absolute assurance that the person did make a decision? I don't have that. But I'll tell you what. I have a fadeless hope that believes the best in every person. And I absolutely consider the possibility that that person, is it possible that the word may have accomplished the thing whereunto I was able to send it? And in that moment of time, there was clairvoyance, and they said, Jesus, that's all you got to do. It's just Jesus. They don't have to be as spiritual as you are. All they need to do is Jesus. Is there cause to hope? Absolutely. There is absolutely permission to hope and to believe the best and consider that. You know, sometimes, you know how we're on the one side of it where you're dealing maybe with family or friends or kind of a familiarity, and you got this life of God and joy, and you're trying to communicate it, and they're kind of looking at you because they knew you when, and they're kind of looking at, yeah, I know you. I know you. Oh, this Jesus, you know. Okay, you got religion. That's kind of the translation of your attempts to share the love of God or the gospel, and sometimes so that's kind of the math goes, you got religion. And so it can be hard sometimes to make progress. And so, why? Because they kind of know you naturally. And sometimes as you go through the years and you're on the other side, you're on the receiving end of that, maybe that hurtful rejection side of it, if you're not careful when it comes to those moments, you can have that same jadedness toward them and think, oh, they couldn't, I know them. They wouldn't have called upon the name of the Lord. I know them. No, you don't know them. You don't know them in a life-ending event. You know how they didn't know you? You don't know them either. What knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Do you have cause to hope? Yeah, you do. You have cause to hope. It's okay to hope. Fadeless. Love's hope is fadeless, believing the best. Again, I'm not saying that I know because I can't. That's the reason why. You know what? That's a really big, powerful reason we have water baptism. You know what water baptism does? It's where you go before God and man publicly, and you declare your faith in Jesus Christ. If you got a person who's called upon the name of the Lord and they're water baptized, there's no doubt, at least, you know, as far as where they stood at some point, they have called upon the name of the Lord. They've made a decision. That's where water baptism is such a powerful testimony. But I just want to say this as far as the confidence of salvation. Don't just write people off. Say, Lord, man, I hope. I'm hoping that they call upon your name. You might not know that's true, but you can hope. You can have cause to hope. Love does that. It hopes, believes, bears. It's that way. As you grow spiritually in God, you become more that way. Have you noticed? He changes you to become more caring, believing, you know, the best, putting on tender mercies and kindness and humility. That's the way he is. So there's a confidence in salvation that we get. Also, there's a confidence in the new birth. Not only do I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die because of what Jesus did for me, and I have that confidence in the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, the witness of the Holy Spirit saying, you're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit's like the amen corner. If you were to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm a child of God, you would sense peace. If you were to say, I am not a child of God, you would sense, wrong, What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He bears witness that you are a child of God. He gives you that sense of knowing. There's other things that we have confidence in. We can have confidence in the new birth. Salvation is where I'm going. The new birth is what God did in me. All right? Jesus talking to Nicodemus, came to him by night, and Nicodemus had a little conversation with him, and Jesus told him some things. kind of gave him some new theology here. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit." So Jesus is talking about and contrasting a new birth in light of a natural birth. He's saying you got to be born again. You got to be born a second time. The first time, you're born of the flesh. The second time, you're born of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, there's a new birth that takes place on the inside of you. Your very spirit being becomes brand new. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, puts it this way. "Therefore, from now on, and you see the contrast again here between the flesh and the spirit, the outward man and kind of the inward man. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." That's kind of your natural human tendency. He says, "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh," he became a man, "yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the verbiage describing the new birth that Jesus was talking about. You got to be born again of the Spirit. Amplified puts it this way, 17. "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." We're talking about confidence in the new birth, that you are brand new on the inside. You're a brand new person. Again, this is a work of grace. This isn't something that I accomplish in myself. This isn't something that I attain. This is not a credential that I get. It's not a badge that's pinned on me after going through my merit things. This is not a merit badge. This is part of that unmerited favor. This is part of that grace. You become a brand new person on the inside. You'll notice to pass the tense here. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. You know, I remember just even as a Christian hearing this and thinking, wow, that's really cool. That's really neat. I wonder if that's really true. I mean, if that's really true, then why do I have the feelings that I do? Why do I still do the dumb things that I do? I mean, if the old spiritual, moral, previous condition's gone, then why? We did a series a few weeks back called, the victory of Dr. Spirit over Mr. Flesh. It was kind of off the old Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, Paul kind of reads in Romans 7, the things that I do, I don't do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. Kind of that schizophrenia. Why can't I, do what I know is right? That whole paradigm. Because the fact of the matter is I am new on the inside. You know, why am I, why do I, have that problem? Why do I have these issues? And I remember I was just kind of kicking, just walking around one day and just, you know how it is, you miss God and you're feeling guilty and you're beating yourself up. And I remember just literally, when spiritual things happen, you remember right where you were, when you were. You can just take yourself back there to that moment in time when you get spiritual things in your life. It's like it happened yesterday and you remember right where you were. And this is like one of those times I'm just walking down the hall and all of a sudden, as I'm beating myself up, and I just kind of said out loud, I said, "Well, I guess that's just who I am." And that's the way you feel when you mess up. That's just who I am. And I remember in a moment of time, the Spirit of God corrected me. And he said, "That's not who you are." And I just saw, I saw spiritually, it was like a quick little glimpse, as I could see what I look like on the inside. It was like I could see, it was like the glory of God and the new birth and the child of God that he made me. And all of a sudden, I saw who I was. I saw myself as a child of God. That old previous moral condition, what I saw, the old previous moral condition had passed away. The new had come, and I saw the child of God that God sees when he looks at me. And it was like, wow, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And you begin to, when I saw that, then I heard another thing. That thing that you're dealing with had to come at you from the outside. You know, when you give in to sin, you yield to sin. Something's warring against the law of your mind, and you're yielding to it, and you let it in, and you do something sinful. But it's coming at you from the outside, not the inside anymore. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, you were by nature children of wrath. You're no longer by nature children of wrath anymore. You are by nature a child of God. You still have the law of sin and death in your members, warring against the law of your mind, and you can choose to yield your members unto sin, or you can yield your members unto righteousness. But whether I yield my members unto sin or whether I yield them unto righteousness, I'm still a new creation on the inside. That's why it's frustrating. You know, the first person to condemn you when you miss it is you. It's that if your heart condemns you, it's not the Holy Spirit who condemns you when you miss it. It's you who condemns you. The Holy Spirit's the one who says, let's get back to the throne of grace. There's mercy, there's grace to help here. He's the one bringing you back to forgiveness and grace in that wide open place. But you and your spirit know. Why? Because when you satisfy your flesh, it only satisfies flesh. This person is not satisfied. Anytime you've ever sinned since becoming a Christian, anytime you satisfied that flesh stuff, you've never satisfied the new creation. The new creation goes, ugh. That was not good for me. You realize on the inside it's you. You're a brand new person on the inside. Now, this is encouraging. Why? Because this is identification. When you can see yourself, like I said, I had that little glimpse. Wow. When I had that little glimpse, I went back to my little notebook and I wrote some circles. You know, on the outward circle, I said, that's my body. My next circle in, I put, that's my, you know, my physical body. The next little smaller circle on the inside, I said, that's my soul. That's my mind, my will, emotions, where the law of sin and death wars against that battleground of opportunity to choose right or choose wrong. But on the very middle, I put, there's my spirit. And I put a little smiley face, and I said, that's the real me. You must be born again, Ed House. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old is passed away, and all that has become new. And you begin to see yourself according to who you are. And you begin to come up higher. You're pressing to the mark of the prize of that upward call of God in Christ. One of the parts of that upward call is seeing yourself as you have been made by grace. Again, you take no credit for this. This is a work of grace that God did in you. You should be called. John puts it this way. He said, behold, the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That's a powerful statement. I should be called the child of God because I did anything? No, because of the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me that made me a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. I should be called a child of God. It's hard to see on the inside. You know, that's in there. We know that by faith. You know, Well, as I turned 50 last year, I thought, you know, I'm gonna kind of go through and kind of have a report card on my body, you know, just kind of go through the physical deals and all that kind of stuff. I thought this will be a good occasion. I was driving in Green Bay and I saw a great big billboard with Aaron Rodgers on it, and it was one of those, I don't know if it was Purvey or which one he does it for, but it simply said, "It's your health, get after it." And I thought, well, okay, because I don't really go to the doctor much, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to use this occasion to kind of get after it and just kind of proactively just see where I'm at, you know, as far as my body goes. And so I had one of these tests done on my heart, okay? I don't even remember the full name of it, but it's one of those tests where they can do a scan of your heart and they can look at all the major arteries in your heart. They literally put a dye in you, run it through your system, and can visually see. And what they're looking for is all the major arteries in your heart, and they're trying to look for any blockages that's there, you know, to just kind of proactively see where you're at, you know. And I thought, well, all right, let's kick the tires on this old heart and see where we're at 50, you know. And so I remember I had, you know, you do the scan thing, and then you have to do the follow-up appointment with your doctor. And so I was at the follow-up appointment with my doctor, and we're looking at this kind of chart with all this verbiage, and stuff. And as he's going down, there's had to be at least a half dozen arteries they're looking at. I can't remember exactly how many. But as we're going down and we're looking at, you know, these arteries, well, this is the right ventricle, blah, 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 you know, which I knew right ventricle and left ventricle. Okay, that's the depth of my heart understanding and knowledge. When he starts talking beyond that, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher, you know, you don't quite hear it. So, exactly. It was kind of, man, I'm glad you understand it. But as he was going through, he was kind of going through this, okay, this is your right ventricle, and I noticed that the conclusion, because there would be like a little paragraph right up on each, you know, each major artery, and at the conclusion of that, that paragraph, because it said in big bold letters, no plaque, and I said, well, I thought, you know, I'm a man with a reputation for bacon, okay? Let's put it that way. You know, Doc, be honest with me here. You know, is this a category like 0 to 25% blockage, or is that like, and he looked at me and said, no, that means no plaque. Right? I didn't tell him I was a man with a reputation for bacon. I'm thinking that to myself. Right? Things you don't tell your doctor. But he went down one by one, and he goes, there's the left ventricle, blah, blah, blah. They call that the widowmaker. And he was going through all these different things, and every single one of them, no plaque, none, zero. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Thanks, Susie. Wow. You guys, glad I'm amongst family here. Yeah, I didn't know. You know what I did say? I said, wow, I just said, that's grace. That's unmerited favor. Just ask my church family. That's unmerited favor. That is like, how in the world, after 50, you know, I was just kind of hoping for, you know, kind of a low percentage is kind of where we're going there. Zero, none. It said none, zero. That means like none. Wow. Well, praise God. That's grace. I didn't deserve that. I mean, if you know, and you know, I didn't deserve that. That's unmerited. That's brand new. That's like new, clear passages. And I know that, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was your working. That was what you did on the end, you know, as far as, you know, you gave me grace there. You know, that's something. So as you begin to look at heart stuff and what God has done on the inside, I couldn't see those valves with these eyes. I had to get a special scan done to see what's going on in there. All right? And I still can't see those valves with these eyes. But I have faith in that report, that it is my report, and that it is a clear report. And it's a good report. Praise God. But you got to realize that's our scan right there. That's the scan of your heart. I know you've eaten things, and we've done things, and we've yielded to things, and think, boy, my heart must look like X. And you go in there, and it's clean, and it's clear because of what God did on the inside of you. The old previous moral condition has passed away. You see, that's kind of what the enemy will get in your head and say, oh, you have a dirty heart. You don't. Your heart is clean. You can have confidence. Again, this is not you having a good day or a bad day. Confidence in the work of Christ. He made you. You must be born again. You are born again with a new heart, a brand new heart, not by works of righteousness, which you've done. Nothing that you have done of yourself. It is the gift of God. You've got the gift of a new heart on the inside. Here's another great scan scripture, spiritual scan scripture. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight to present you. Jesus presenting you to the Father, holy, blameless, and above reproach in the Father's sight. The Father is doing this.
He can't see a thing wrong with you. That's the gift. That's a grace. That's the new creation he's looking at right there. That's not you having a good day. I don't care how many good days you string together and how many days you don't do that thing. This is not what this is talking about. This is a gift. This is talking about you being made righteous in Christ. He sees you that way. That's your scan. You know? It's like I was looking at that, no plaque, and I'm going, wow, that's not right in a really good sort of way. And you kind of look at this and go, wow, that's not right in a really good sort of way. Well, it actually is right because Jesus paid the price for it. But at the same time, you can't emotionally or mentally, your math doesn't matter as far as what you think you deserve. Put confidence in the new birth. And what am I saying? What does that mean in real life? It means I see myself as a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a child of God now. That's not my merit badge that I'm going to click off the to-dos and then get a badge on me, child of God. No, I have that now. It's a gift of God. So I have confidence in the new birth. I have confidence in what he did. Finally, confidence in God's word. This is another place where we can lean on, trust in, and have absolute confidence in God's word. And I love how First John 5 there. 1 John 5 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So praise God. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do we know his will? His will is his word. His word is what gives us that confidence when we're asking according to the word of God. What does the scripture say? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I'll tell you what, this is where it's really exciting. You know, there's nothing quite like personal spiritual growth. What we've been talking about so far is confidence in your salvation. Yeah, nothing. All you do is you're believing. You're calling upon the name of the Lord. Confidence in the new birth, what God has done in you through Jesus Christ, making you a brand new creation, a brand new creature. But there's confidence in the word of God. And this is where you are putting your heart on the line with the word of God, and you're seeing changes in your own life. You're seeing yourself grow and develop spiritually. You're going from glory to glory to glory. Whereas you bore 30-fold, you're sensing 60-fold, and you're able to do more and have more effectiveness. And this is where it gets really exciting, and you realize that the Bible's the word of God. I've said for years, I believe the Bible's the word of God, but I believe it more this year than I did last year and the year before. My theology hasn't changed about what I believe about the word of God, but my heart trust in the reality of this word absolutely changes and grows and develops. And so we have a confidence toward the word of God. Now, why is that important? It's important for our spiritual growth, but it's also important, especially in these last days. 2 Timothy 4 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to Pastor Timothy here, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Okay? This is the importance of getting into the Word of God for yourself, first of all, just so you don't have somebody else, you know, telling you and dictating to you what the Bible says or doesn't say. You get into the Word of God for yourself and begin to read the Scriptures for yourself. But to also realize that in the last days, people are going to be doing crazy things with the Word of God. You'll notice that he says, preach the Word. He said, there a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, having itching ears. So in other words, there's different ways that you can divide the Word of truth. You know, if you want to get into the two different, you know, ways, you have an exegetical, what they'll say, exegetical, you know, where you're looking at the Scriptures and you're going to the Scriptures to see what the Bible says, what it means. There's also kind of an iso, Jesus way that you can kind of decide what you believe is truth, and then you kind of go to the Bible to find supporting texts for it. That's two different ways of doing it. And what he's saying is in the end times, you're going to start with your desire and having itching ears, find teachers. Teacher, go into that thing and find something to validate this. And so it's two different ways. This is a stern warning.
Why is it important? Because you'll notice the world and the culture that we live in is constantly undermining the authority of the Word of God. We can have strong confidence in this Word. In fact, the Holy Spirit that bears witness that you're a child of God also bears witness that these words are true. And when you spend time in this Word, that same Spirit that bears witness you're a child of God say, that's true, 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 and will give you insight into what's going on in the Word of God. And so we do overcome things. We all deal with things. We all struggle with things. But we don't create new doctrine to accommodate the things we struggle with. We have to overcome those things, all right? So there's a difference. We have to realize, and this is the way the Scripture says it here in Galatians. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one to the other so that you can't do the things that you wish. In other words, we all face that battle. You know, if it's not one thing, it's another. We're all dealing with this battle. He says here in Amplified, but this I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responding and being responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. So he's saying, yeah, there is a way to get victory over those desires, but we don't go back and change the Word of God to accommodate the desire. We're going to overcome those desires by the power of the Spirit. We put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. And this is where, again, we've got to be honest with ourselves and what those are. We all, again, have different things that we deal with. I've said, you know, in my life, I thought, you know, if chocolate was a one-dimensional thing, I'd have no problem with sweets in my life. Nothing like a good old-fashioned plain Hershey chocolate bar. The problem with chocolate is, though, after you eat a few of those, you dip it in the peanut butter. And then you move on to Reese's peanut butter cups. And after you glut out on that, you're off to mint chocolate chip ice cream and then Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies. Well, Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookie dough and then Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies. Bacon dipped in chocolate, yeah. All that kind of good stuff. Chocolate, caramel, toffee, chocolate, all that different stuff. You know, it's like you can never get sick of chocolate because you never run out of things to do with it. You know, that'd be my issue. And then, you know, by the time I have exhausted all my little creations, then you know what? There's nothing like a good old-fashioned plain Hershey chocolate bar. Yeah, classic kind of a guy, right? No, you're just starting it all over again. You're just starting it, just starting that cycle all over again. These are just flesh, patterns of flesh. You can insert whatever you want. You know, and the devil knows what to get you with. I mean, he's not going to come at me with alcohol or drugs, and I wouldn't even know how to do drugs if I had them, you know? I know how to do a Snicker bar, though. So, I'm just saying, we all fight battles, we all have desires, we all have stuff that we haven't overcome, right? But I don't create a Snicker bar doctrine, you know, of unlimited supply, or just stuff to accommodate my flesh. I realize that, hey, you know, when I received Jesus Christ, I didn't receive him because I'm perfect and I'm coming to God perfect and I have no problems. Well, no, we're coming to God as sinners. We're coming because we are sinners and we need him. And there's a lifelong process of overcoming and getting free and getting victory over things in our life. But our confidence is in the Word. Man, everything in me feels like, you know, how can I get free from this? But the Word says, if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a process of going forward in those things and going forward in God. There's nothing like overcoming the flesh than getting excited about God. Have you noticed that? The times that you have the greatest control over your flesh have been times that you've been the most excited about God and preoccupied with God. I find that new believers accidentally walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of flesh. They accidentally get victory. When they're starting out, it's all new, it's all God, and I'm going to church, and I'm doing this, and what are they doing? They're walking in the Spirit. They're not trying to walk in the Spirit. It's just exciting. It's what you'd call their first love. And as they're doing that, they're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh because there's an appetite that's satisfied. So we got to return to our first love and get consumed with the power of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Put to death the deeds of the body. We can have confidence in this Word from my life. Praise God. Trusting in this Word. Letting God change me. Taking this Word, hiding it in my heart, being transformed by the renewing of what this Word has to say. So talking about the fact we can have confidence. Yeah, our confidence is in our flesh and in our works and different things like that, but we have confidence in our salvation. I am saved by grace through faith. It's absolutely the gift of God from beginning to end. I don't live with any subtle fear of hell. No. I've called upon the name of the Lord. I know him. I know his love. I know his grace. Does it mean that I don't miss it ever? No, certainly. I miss it. I get back up, but I'm saved by grace through faith. Right along that person who, with their last breath, calls upon his name. We're going to the same place, children of the same Father. Why? Same blood that redeems us to God. So my confidence is like Paul. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness that's my own, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, you wrote 13 books of the Bible. Doesn't mean a thing. All 13 books have absolutely no weight when it comes to his right standing with God. It's just the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. And yours, again, whether you had a good day, bad day, you feel like this has been, you've been stuck, the blood of Jesus. When we realize that, man, we're encouraged and thankful of his love for us. Also, confidence in the new birth. Your scans are in. No plaque. You got a clear heart. And you're looking, wow, my heart? Really? Yeah, your heart. Your heart. It's the gift of God. No, doesn't matter how you feel. That's the work that he's done on the inside of you. That's why the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. The Spirit of God isn't bearing witness with a corrupted spirit, a corrupted demonic, full of the devil's, you were by nature children of wrath. The Spirit of God isn't bearing witness with a wrath nature that you're a child of God. He's bearing witness with the new creation, saying you're a child of God. See yourself that way. It's part of the upward call that'll cause you to live upward. Also, I kind of like to make this, when I'm thinking about that, throw this in there. The parallel I have is with my car. My car is dirty and grimy. What's another McDonald's wrapper? But when it's a brand new car or something that's new and nice, I want to keep that nice and clean. It affects the way I carry myself and do things. The way you see yourself on the inside will affect the way you carry yourself. If you just see yourself, oh, I'm just an old, this old dead-hearted sinner on the inside, you're going to live that way. When you begin to say, no, I'm a child of God. This stuff is coming at me from the outside, and I have a choice. I can take those thoughts captive and bring them into the obedience of Christ. I don't have to live that way anymore. Praise God. I'm going to live from the inside out of who I really am on the inside. Finally, confidence in God's word. Yeah, we're dealing stuff. We're going through stuff, but we don't change the world. We don't alter the word. We put our confidence in it, and we overcome those things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious Holy Spirit in this place. Again, just the great teacher of the church, leading and guiding us in all truth. I just pray, Father, that we would, each of us this morning, have that sense of confidence in our hearts, Lord, from what you've given to us, what you've provided for us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, my confidence is in Jesus Christ. I've called upon his name. You're rich toward me. I'm born again. I'm brand new. A new creation. The old self is gone. The new has come. It's what you see now. It's what you want me to see now. It's true. My confidence, Lord, is in your word. I'm not changing your word. Your word is changing me. I'm being transformed. As I think the way you think, I'm a child of God, born of your Spirit, accepted in the Beloved, because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus, today's my day. I'm calling on your name. I need you. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died for my sins. You were raised from the dead. And you are in heaven today. And I call you Lord, my Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the precious gift of salvation, for peace through your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.